at the start of a new year, the start of 2018. I wonder whether you could welcome someone in your vicinity, tell them it's great to see them. At least smile if you don't want to talk. You can do that, I'm sure. And if you like, you can be opening up to the book of Acts. That's where we're going to be for much of this morning. It's great. Now, this is what church is about. We love worship. We love the word. But we love spending time together. We're a family. It's what we do. Great. Well, it's been a while since we've all been together. It feels like ages and ages, actually. And many of you would know that almost exactly a month ago, I wrote my final exams in orthopedic surgery in Maputo, Mozambique, of all places. And I could tell you so many stories from that week. But in summary, I had such a sense of God's favor with me throughout the entire week there. And much of that I know is because there were so many people praying for me. One of my heroes, Charles Spurgeon, famously said that no man can do me a truer kindness in this life than to pray for me. And so I want to say thank you for praying for me, particularly last month, and for praying for us as a family. And so we have a lot to be thankful for in 2017, individually, but also as a One Tribe family. We look back on the launch of One Tribe. We look back on salvations and stories of people being baptized and stories of people being healed, carols in Karura, loads of fun events. The list goes on and on. And now we find ourselves on the threshold of 2018. Perhaps the most impactful New Year's quote for me that I found on social media was this one. It was posted by Matt Redman. And I just love this prayer. It's from 1874. It says, "Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving Thy presence all the days." This prayer, I think, captures so well the sense of anticipation that many of us share at the start of a new year. Many of you would know that now, January, the first week of January, last week of December, is a time for looking back and reflecting on all that's happened in 2017 and looking forward in 2018 to all that could be. It's a time of fresh hope. It's a time of resolutions. It's a time of asking God for new things. It's a time of maybe making resolutions about our finances, or resolutions about our exercise in our bodies, or about both together. Some of you may have seen this image on a social media where someone prays, "God, please give me a fat bank balance and a slim body for this new year. Please don't get confused like last year." It's a time of asking God for new things, about thinking about our health, thinking about the things that we do. And it's a time of realizing, I guess, that if you want a fat bank balance, there are things that you've got to do to get to that fat bank balance. And if you want a slim body like mine, there are things that you've got to do to get to that slim body, like exercise. And in this whole area of exercise, for me, one of the things we're thankful for in 2017 is my wife, Tash. She ran in her first 10-kilometer version of the Nairobi Marathon. And like in so many areas of life, she left me feeling inspired. She left me feeling inspired to exercise. I thought maybe I should start running like my wife and like many of our friends. And I was thinking, I need to start exercising. I need to start running, until I read the Bible verse, which says in Proverbs chapter 28, that the wicked run when no one is chasing them. And I repented of that resolution, and I shall not be running in 2018. I don't want to be wicked. New Year's and New Year's resolutions are a reminder to us that there's a lot in our lives that needs to change. The new year can also be a reminder to us that there's actually a lot that needs to change in our families, that needs to change in Nairobi, that needs to change in Kenya and in the world. From how much time I spend with my children to world leaders threatening each other with fire and fury and nuclear destruction and everything in between, a lot needs to change, and the scale of it can be intimidating. And New Year's resolutions are a time to remember that it's because you and I need to change, because Nairobi needs to change, because the world needs to change. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came because a lot needs to change. That's why he lived, that's why he died, and that's why he created and commissioned us, the church, to bring about that change. And that's what we want to talk about today. We could pick up the story in a lot of different places, but this morning, as we stand at the dawn of a new year, I want us to think back to a time when Jesus stood with his followers at the dawn of a new age. It's in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and if you haven't got your Bibles, you can see most of the verses up on the screen. But at this point in the story, Jesus has risen from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples talking to them about the kingdom. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he gives this verse, and if you are a regular here at New Creation, hopefully this isn't it. At One Tribe, hopefully this isn't a new verse to you, but it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's where they were then, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Some people have said that this is actually a summary of the book of Acts. If you track through the book of Acts, that's what you see, is you see God filling this group of disciples with his Spirit, and then they are his witnesses. They testify to Jerusalem that Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. And then they go throughout all Judea, and they say to everyone, Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. And then they go to Samaria, and they say, Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. And by the time we get to the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, we find them at the ends of the earth from a Jewish perspective, which is Paul in the city of Rome. As you go through the book of Acts, that's the story that you see. And if you want to know why One Tribe exists, it's to testify that Jesus is alive in Nairobi and in Kenya and to the ends of the earth. That's why One Tribe exists as a church. As you go through the book of Acts, there are some wonderful summaries of the progress of the church. There's some wonderful like punctuation marks where you see, wow, look how far they've come. And often these are words on the lips of people trying to destroy the church. Turn with me if you like to Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. What happens there is the high priest exclaims, he's trying to shut down the church, and he says to Peter and John, two of the church's leaders, he says, listen, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Can you imagine a city full of teaching about Jesus? Can you imagine Nairobi filled with teaching about Jesus? Five chapters in, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth, five chapters into the book of Acts, we see that they have filled Jerusalem with his teaching. And if you turn a few more pages in the book of Acts, you see that now that the gospel's spreading through Samaria, a few more pages and you see them, if you get to Acts chapter 17, another great verse over here, they've landed in a place called Thessalonica, and the early church is dragged before the city authorities, and the people in charge say this to them, Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they say, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Acts is the story of the gospel spreading from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 17, these people are being told, hey, these are the guys who have turned the world upside down. The gospel is making progress through the book of Acts. And that's why the church exists, is to turn the world upside down. You've heard it said that we are saved not merely to escape hell, but to be a people that will astound the world. This is what it looks like. This is what a people who astound the world looks like. Filling a city with teaching about Jesus. Turning the world upside down in their generation. So here's the big idea for this morning. The church in Acts was a city-reaching, world-impacting church and is a model for one tribe and every church that comes after it. But saturating everything that they did and everything that God did through them was a vibrant prayer life. And that's what we want to see in the remaining 25 minutes or so we have together this morning, is we want to see how the early church is the story of a praying church. The book of Acts is the story of a praying church. And because they were a praying church in the book of Acts, we want to keep growing in this area of prayer at One Tribe. So this morning we're going to learn six things about prayer from the church in the book of Acts. And these six things will help us with our prayer emphasis at One Tribe over the next few weeks. Point number one, we need to prioritize prayer. We're just going to do a kind of high-level overview of the book of Acts, touching on a few things in different chapters. The church in the book of Acts prioritized prayer. You don't drift into a fruitful spiritual life. You don't drift into a powerful prayer life. We need to prioritize prayer. That's what they did in the early church. Check out Acts chapter 1 verse 14, at the beginning, it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. If you want to know why this was a powerful church, it's because it was a prayerful church. I need to tie my shoelaces very quickly because it's distracting me. While I'm doing that, this is a tip for those of you who are preachers. Can you all repeat out loud together? They all joined together constantly in prayer. That is exactly right. The first thing is that they all join together constantly in prayer. Do you know something? I've got nothing against prayer teams. Some of you might be in prayer teams. I've got nothing against intercession teams. Some of you might be in intercession teams. But I will say this about them. In the Bible, you don't see a prayer team ever mentioned. What you see is a praying church. I'm not saying close down your prayer team. What I'm saying is the Bible vision is a vision of a church where they all join together in prayer. You see, prayer isn't just something for the spiritual heavyweights. It's not just something for the pastors to do. But at the outset of this year, we're saying, God, make us a praying church. They all join together constantly in prayer. A pastor friend of mine said, yes, I'm always in prayer at about 4 in the morning. And he said, see, my bed is, I've named my bed prayer, and so I'm always in prayer at 4 o'clock in the morning. Think about that when you might get it. We want to be a people constantly in prayer. Acts 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This was a church devoted to prayer. Not just the church, but the leaders as well were devoted to prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, there was a problem in the church, and widows, a group of widows, wasn't getting food. And the church leader said, you know what, we'll appoint deacons to care for these widows and make sure that they get the food that they need. But they said that we will turn this responsibility over to other leaders because we want to keep giving our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So, at One Tribe, we're starting the year with a prayer emphasis in January. Why are we doing that? Because we want to prioritize prayer. Why do we want to prioritize prayer? Because the early church prioritized prayer. How do we pray? Well, we're going to spend the next couple of Sundays talking about how we pray, and we hope that that'll be a blessing to you, whether you're new to prayer or whether you've been praying for years and years. Over the next few weeks, we want to learn how to pray, but I love this quote. One guy once said, the man who knows how will always have a job. The man who knows why will always be his boss. And I want you to be a boss in your prayer life this year. And so we're going to be talking for the rest of this morning about why we want to pray. Again, just through as we look at the book of Acts, why do we want to pray? Well, number one, we want to prioritize prayer because the early church prioritized prayer. But number two, our prayers become the atmosphere for the new birth and for the miraculous. I love this bit. Acts chapter 3, there's the miracle of the healing of a cripple at a temple gate. He's over 40 years old. He's been crippled since birth. And Acts 3 verse 1 just says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They stop, they see a man who needs healing, he's healed. This kind of reminds me of Acts chapter 16, if you don't mind us jumping a little bit later in the story, where the Bible says Paul and his friends, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Not fortune telling, fortune telling. And the Bible says that a little bit later, they cast the demon out of this lady. They got into some trouble for that. We'll look at that a bit later. But do you catch the atmosphere of the book of Acts from these two verses? Let me say it again to help you. It starts, Peter and John, on the way to a prayer meeting, cripple gets healed. Paul and his friends, on the way to a prayer meeting, slave girl gets delivered of an evil spirit. It wouldn't be much of an overstatement to say that most of what happens in the book of Acts either happens in a prayer meeting or on the way to a prayer meeting or after a prayer meeting as the result of a prayer meeting. It's just the atmosphere of the book of Acts. These were people who were always on the way to a prayer meeting or coming out of a prayer meeting or in a prayer meeting, because prayer becomes the atmosphere. It's the environment in which people get saved, in which miracles happen. And one tribe at the beginning of this year, God's calling us to be a people who believe that God still saves today, that God still does miracles today. What's his part? He saves, he does miracles. What's our part? We pray. And we tell people about Jesus. And in this environment of prayer, God does what only he can do. Had another pastor friend of mine who said, you know what, I can't even heal a cockroach of a broken leg. No man can. But God, in an environment of prayer, anything can happen. Our prayer becomes the atmosphere for the new birth and for the miraculous. Number three, we need to pray in response to challenges and opposition. So Peter and John, they're on the way to a prayer meeting. They see a cripple. He gets healed. As a result of that, they get into trouble. They get arrested and hauled before the high priest and the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. You see, what happens is when the church in Acts, they're going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. But as that is happening, they hit opposition and setback and persecution. And at each point as they hit these barriers, their response when they hit a barrier is to turn to God in prayer. Listen, friends, you are going to hit opposition and barriers during 2018. Here's my question for you. What is your plan A response? Is it to figure out a solution? Or is it to turn to God in prayer? When your marriage hits difficulty, do you complain? Do you gripe? Do you fight? Or do you turn to God in prayer? As we hit opposition, like the early church, our go-to response, as we hit opposition as a church, as we hit challenges and difficulty, they will come. We can be a people who turn to God in prayer. Number four, prayer will bring revelation. Are you tracking with me? I only got 6 points, 3 down, 3 to go. Why do we want to pray as a church? We want to pray because the early church prayed. It's the atmosphere for what God wants to do amongst us. Prayer is the best and most potent response to the challenges that will come our way. Number four, as we pray, God speaks to us and he gives us revelation. I love this. In Acts chapter 11, Peter tells the story And this is just before a significant moment in the book of Acts where the gospel, which has been going geographically spreading, but it's been spreading really essentially amongst Jews, one group of people in God's great wide world, one tribe, if you like, of people in God's great wide world. But God wanted his gospel to go to every tribe, to go to the ends of the earth. But it was only amongst this Jewish group. And that was because there was a kind of racist anti-gospel mindset in the leaders of the church and in the church. And God needed to break through that. He needed to bring fresh revelation. And he started with his disciple Peter. And Peter says this, I was in the city of Joppa. Guess what he was doing? Praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. And some of you will know the story. It's filled with all kinds of animals that to a Jew would have been disgusting food. And three times a voice says to Peter, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. You can have bacon and hamburgers and really cool stuff. And Peter says to him, no, these things have been unclean since I was a child. I haven't eaten anything like that. And God says to him, if I call something clean, be it a slice of bacon or an un-Jewish people group, if I've called it clean, you don't call it unclean. And in this environment of prayer, Peter gets revelation. Meanwhile, at the same time, God is saying to Peter, hey, listen, I want you to go to un-Jewish people. At the same time, there's an un-Jewish person called Cornelius. He's not even a believer, and he's praying. And the Bible says as he's praying, he sees an angel come down to him. It's the next slide over there, Acts chapter 10, please. And it says he was praying at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before him and started talking to him. What are we saying? We're saying that as we pray, God can bring revelation into our lives. A fun story about this. In December, we had my mother come and visit. And we thought, let's get a photo shoot while we're doing this. And so we went out and we went into the tea and we had a photographic photo shoot. Do you remember this? And we're having a photo shoot and we're all dressed up. And my daughter, she's 6 years old. She's wearing some earrings. And we're having a photo shoot and we're in the tea. And if you've seen the tea around Nairobi, it grows this high. And we were in the middle of the tea and kind of posing and doing our photo shoot. And in the middle of this photo shoot, Tash looks at our daughter, and she's lost one of her earrings. So I think to myself, this is a fashion disaster. How will we ever continue? But we kind of take the other one off, and we carry on shooting. But I notice that my wife, Tash, she's very distracted. And I said to her, is there something special about these earrings? Because she's kind of like... And I'm hoping she's going to say, no, not really. But she says, actually, they belonged to Bethel's grandmother. And at that point, I realize we are in this tea until we find this other earring. And it's kind of, Bethel, do you remember where in the tea you've been in the last 15 minutes? And it's like I was there, and then I was there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and now I'm here. And we walked around in the tea. And at times like that, you pray. Because if you've been in tea, it's kind of like there's green leafy tea, which could catch the earring, and then underneath there's just like roots and scrub, and that could easily. And we're walking around in this tea, and I prayed, God, help us to find this earring. And it's hard to describe, but walking along, honestly had a sense, look down right there. Like, look down, so you bend down and you look. And about 6 inches from right there, in the middle of this tea field, found the earring. And if I wasn't a cool, collected man of faith, I'd have said, wow, look, surprise, found the earring. But I just put it in my pocket where the other earring was. Walked up to Tash, I said, there you go. And for about 15 seconds, I was the man. But more than that, that's just to illustrate that in small things and big things, as we pray, the Bible says God can cause us to know the way in which we should go. He said, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, go this way. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, go that way. You'll hear a voice saying, that's the business supplier that you should deal with. You'll hear a voice saying, that's the next employee you need to hire. You'll hear a voice saying that this is the way that you should drive. You'll hear a voice saying, don't do that. Your children won't understand that. We can do 2018 together with God, but it's as we pray that we create this environment of wisdom and revelation. There's a church that the Apostle Paul was praying for, and he said, you know what, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and we can be a church experiencing wisdom and revelation from God, but that comes as we pray. It's what happened in the book of Acts, and they're our model. We want to be a people moving in response to God's revelation. These are great reasons to pray. I've only got two more. Number five is probably my favorite. Here we go. Prayer will bring personal breakthrough. Why do you want to pray? Because as we pray, God gives breakthrough. We had a great time praying this morning, and even in the prayer meeting, at different moments, you could hear different ones saying, man, I need personal breakthrough in this area, or I know someone who needs personal breakthrough, family breakthrough. I want this person to meet Jesus, need financial provision, need permissions in this area. We need breakthrough of different kinds, and this comes as we pray. There's a great story of that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. The Bible says, so Peter, he's gotten into trouble for telling everyone about Jesus, and because of that, he ends up in prison. Chapter 12, verse 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but, can everyone say, but? That's a big but. I mean, never mind. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Peter's in prison, and the Bible says, but you know, you think he's in prison. I know how this is going to go. The authorities of the day are executing people like Peter. Now he's in prison. I know how this is going to end. He's going to end up with his head on a plate. And the Bible says, but the church was praying for Peter. God answers their prayer because God brings personal breakthrough for Peter. An angel shows up. You can read the story after this. An angel shows up, busts Peter out of prison. Peter can hardly tell whether he's awake or asleep. But he comes to his senses, and he comes to a point where he realizes that he's really just been set free. Acts chapter 12, verse 12 says that when this had dawned on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it, and she exclaimed, Peter's at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. Do you see the divine comedy here? Peter is in prison, but the church is praying for him. They're gathering in a house and they're saying, God, bust him out of prison. God answers their prayer while they are still praying. Peter comes and knocks on the door. Rhoda realizes it's Peter, goes inside and says to them, hey, listen. And they're praying, God, would you bust Peter out of prison? And she says, Peter's out of prison. He's at the door. And they say, you must be out of your mind. Don't disturb us. God, please break Peter out of prison. They finally realize, no, he really is. And they let him in. And he tells them the story. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, tell James and the brothers about this. Then he left for another place. So much we can learn from this story. There's no telling what God can do as his people gather to pray. There's no telling what kind of breakthrough God can bring when his people pray. This should encourage us in our prayer meetings that God can do things that we wouldn't even believe. This should encourage us in our personal prayer lives, and this should encourage us in our corporate prayer life. Let me tell you how it encourages me. Do you know that there are, what I'll put in inverted commas, anointed prayer meetings? I'm talking about prayer meetings where you can feel the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about prayer meetings when, as you are praying, you can sense God energizing your prayers. I'm talking about prayer meetings when you're praying for breakthrough and all of a sudden you know the breakthrough has come. I remember 15 years ago in our first church plant, we were praying for a church venue in which to meet. We were praying in a doctor's flat at Impilo Hospital in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. And I can remember being in that prayer meeting and all of a sudden there was this inexplicable corporate sense that this thing that we've been praying for, a venue for this church plant to meet, this inexplicable sense across the people in the room, God has done it. He's given us the prayer, the venue we need for our church. You just know in your spirit. There are prayer meetings that feel anointed. This prayer meeting in Acts 12 was not one of those, I don't think. Praying, God, give us Peter. Peter's at the door. No, he can't be. It's a nice thought, Rhoda, but no, no. But God, would you set Peter free from prison? I learned something great from a friend of mine. His name is Sam. He's a couple of decades ahead of me in the ministry. And he said something I'll never forget. He said this, you know, there is no such thing as a bad prayer meeting. Because when God's people gather to pray, it's a good thing. Another pastor by the name of Mike Bickle, he read a book that deeply impacted me called Passion for Jesus. And in it, he's got a section where he talks about, quote unquote, unanointed prayer. And he says he was the pastor of a church and he arrived for the regular church prayer meeting. And as he pulls into the parking and gets out of his car, he's a few minutes early for the prayer meeting. He can see only one other car outside that would have two young people inside it. And as he approaches the auditorium, he's still outside. He hears this loud, loud music coming from inside. He says it sounded something like the Hallelujah chorus. And knowing the situation, he thought this music is so loud. What must have happened is these guys who came early have been playing with the sound system and they're playing music so loud that it's going to blow the speakers. And so he moves inside and as he opens the doors of the building, all of a sudden he can't hear any music anymore. And the two people, other people who've arrived early, they're not up in the sound booth. They're down at the front just praying quietly. And he can no longer hear this loud, loud music. And suddenly it began to dawn on him that what he'd heard from outside, just as these two people gathered to pray, was an angelic choir singing. And he says he got so excited because he thought to himself, man, this is going to be some kind of prayer meeting if we have angelic choirs there just for the warm-up. And they got ready to pray, and they got ready to lift their voices to God. And he says that, you know what? That prayer meeting was distinctly average. It was like a lot of the prayer meetings that you go to, and I go to. And he was saying, then he began to realize that there's no such thing as a bad prayer meeting. Because whenever God's people gather to pray, God himself is listening. Whenever God's people gather to pray, angels are in attendance, ready to do God's will as God's servants to minister to us, his people. And if you feel that your prayer is unanointed, if you feel that your prayer life was a bit more spicy, just remind yourself from time to time that even in our quote-unquote unanointed prayer times, the living God is at work. Last one, number six, prayer will open new doors of opportunity. That's what will happen for us as individuals. That's what will happen for us as a church as we emphasize prayer in the coming weeks. Prayer opens new doors of opportunity. Our last verse for this morning, Acts 13, verses 2 to 3, says, while we were worshiping, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas, and that's my Holy Spirit voice, by the way, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And I don't know if you've ever wondered to yourself, what was it like being in a prayer meeting when God said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul? What did it look like? Was it this booming voice with a lot of bass? Or maybe everyone got the same text message on their phones at the same time from an unknown number. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. I think it might have been something a little bit like what happened as we were worshiping God together this morning. And Sam said, God's given me a tongue. I don't know what it means, but it's there in the Bible, and so let's give it a try, and we'll trust God that someone will have the interpretation. And he brought it, and then good-looking Raymer on the drums feels, you know what? I think God might have given me the interpretation. And he gets up and he speaks, and people in the church are edified. God speaks to us in different ways, and it's great when we gather to worship and pray. We don't know what God's going to say. We don't know exactly what he's going to do. That's one of the things that makes prayer meetings so exciting. What did he say in this Acts 13 prayer meeting? He said to this church, one of your leaders, Barnabas, and the other one, Paul, set them aside for me because I want them to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Prayer opens new doors of opportunity. I must hasten to a close. What have we said today? We've said that we want to prioritize prayer. We've talked a little bit about why we want to pray. For the rest of this month, each of the Sunday messages will be equipping you to pray. In addition, we also want to work through the Lord's Prayer using a 19-day devotional that we want to go through as a church. It's only 19 days long, and the plan is, there's a reading plan inserted here, and the plan is to start on the 9th of January. What's the date today? 7th. 9th of January is 2 days away. We didn't want to say to you, you've got to start this tomorrow because we know you need time to get your minds around it. But starting on the 9th of January, so this Tuesday, there are 19 days. And if you count 19 days, we won't do Saturdays and Sundays, so you have a bit of breathing space. And we don't do Saturdays and Sundays, so that if you missed a day during the week, you can catch up over the weekend. And the plan is to finish on the 2nd of February. We chose this devotional because it's based on the Lord's Prayer, which was Jesus' response when his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so what we're not doing over the course of this month is, it's not a case of you need to pray more, but it's a case of, for the course of this month, us saying together, Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray. And as Tash mentioned earlier, if you want to get this book on Kindle, you can. It costs $8, about 800 shillings. We got special permission from the author to get it printed for much, much cheaper. We got it printed for 200 shillings, and that's the cost that we want to make it available to you at. But you'll see the jar at the back says suggested donation. And what that means is, if you can't afford 200 shillings and you can only do 150, that's great. If you can't afford anything, please take one anyway. It's our gift to you. And if 2 weeks later you have 80 shillings to contribute, great. If you don't, no problem. For us, the priority is, we want everyone to have one of these books so we can learn together from Jesus over the coming weeks how to pray. I think that this is probably the best material I've ever worked through on the Lord's Prayer. It's powerful, it packs a punch. It takes a little bit of discipline to get through. That's why we want to do it together, so we can encourage each other along the way. And we might start a WhatsApp group so we can, during the day, say, hey, this is what God said to me. I hope it encourages everyone else who's going through this devotional. Does that make sense? All right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you're a God who helps us to pray, that you're a God who teaches us how to pray. We want to thank you that we don't need to walk into 2018 clinging to a couple of resolutions we hurriedly made. But we can walk into 2018 with you, leading us and guiding us. With you only ever a prayer away. You have said, never will you leave us, never will you forsake us. You've said you want to lead us, you want to guide us. And so God, humbly, at the start of this year, we could ask for money, we could ask for great relationships and great marriages, we could ask for business success, we could ask for healings and salvations and for many to come to know you. And God, despite all those being good things, if there's one thing we're asking this morning, it's, Lord, would you teach us to pray? That we would know you better, and more than that, we'd see your kingdom come in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in this great city of Nairobi and beyond. And everyone present said, Amen. Fantastic. So here's the plan.